Go ahead.
Okay, the variance issue, as best I recollect it, Mike.
Directly into the mic.
Well, I am.
Closer.
Hello, is this better? Okay. My recollection of that meeting, that telephone call, was consistent with
bring your mic up. There you go.
It's consistent with what Mr. Adelson just said, except in one respect. We agreed to the line item variance issue. There was no issue there. The issue was how would we report that, and we did not agree to report that on a monthly basis. We agreed to report that on a quarterly basis.
And we've changed that to quarterly.
Okay, all right, then that's it.
Let me ask the chair of the committee. Mike?
There's a typo,
Mike.
But there should be two quarterlies on there. As opposed to, there's a monthly and a quarterly. Just it's a typo. It should be quarterly and quarterly.
All right. With Mike, with those two corrections, can you make a motion to approve or adopt all of these? It'll
point
save
of order.
A lot of time.
Point of order.
Yes. Point of order.
Can we just check on, like, the Rondawa motion, if it was seconded or not, and if it wasn't, dispose of it? I know, but did we say it was not seconded and we moved on?
Yes, I told him it was not seconded.
Okay, I'm sorry, I was distracted. And also, can this still be read with the proper language where this quarterly thing is, and that, because I don't know where the quarterly goes. So I can make a correction on my paper, please. Thank you.
Mike, tell them where the
resolved that quarterly expense line items, this is part of the quarterly report, that are at least 10% or at least 10,000, not including amounts under 1,000, whichever is lesser, over budget for the months, shall be explained in written notes that accompany the quarterly income statements. It's just I'm changing quarterly to in both those sentences. That's the only modification, and with Williams's language as well.
We do have another monthly in that statement. The next sentence, the CFO will make notes for the national office and PRA monthly.
Yeah, that's what we agreed to. That's what you agreed to.
I hate to be lonely here. Only one that has to do monthly.
It was your motion, Lonnie.
It's quarterly.
Yeah, it's a typo.
Mr. Chairman.
We'll come back to that.
Okay. Yeah.
How can you make reports monthly on something
else? Mike.
Yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Chair.
My question again is, if the committee and the managers have resolve these issues and are in agreement, can't you wait one motion to cover them all so we can get on with the business?
I'd be happy to do that. But
point of information, Mr. Chair. We're not in agreement on all the motions.
You're not in agreement.
No.
Yes, LaVarne and then William.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hopefully I won't tire you on this one. But I just want to point out that Serena had made a point, and that I would think that everyone here would respect Serena's point. And Patty had made a point earlier about reading the motions about 5 minutes before William made the point, and it was done when William requested it. So I would expect the board here to respect statements made by both female and male board members. Thank you.
What was the point? I don't understand.
The point was to read the
to
motions.
To read each one of these?
To read the motions before we pass them.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
How about can
we haven't gotten
I think
to the point?
Is calling me a male chauvinist pig, but I'm not quite sure.
She's always.
Yes, I think that we haven't.
I move that we read all the rest of the motions and consider them all as one item.
Second.
All right.
It's been seconded.
Mr. Chair, you have any problem with that?
I will do whatever you tell me to do.
Read
Mr.
them
Chair.
All, okay. And then we'll take action.
All right, I'll start with number two since we made some changes to it. Resolve that quarterly expense line items that are at least 10% or at least 10,000, not including amounts under 1,000, whichever is lesser, over budget for the month shall be explained in written notes that accompany the quarterly income statements. The GMs will make these notes for each unit, and the CFO will make the notes for the national unit. The CFO will make the notes for the national office and the PRA monthly. If there is a meaningful variance at any station between these periods, the CFO shall provide a short and written explanation of the same. And that was passed without objection, Heffley abstaining.
Three.
Three. Policy on reporting fundraising information. This was a committee substitute offered by Hicks and seconded by Bediaco. Resolved that the LSB treasurers, in concert with the local general managers, shall receive the key benchmark report, MEMSIS, of membership data, fulfillment rates, pyramid ratios, renewal rates, pledge fulfillment rates, on-air fundraising reports. The GMs shall also provide a verbal report from the GM to the LSB showing the number of days for each fund drive, and the LSB Finance Committee shall receive such monthly MEMSIS reports from the LSB treasurers. Passed without objection. 4, policy on reserves, which was referred to the NFC working group, so we'll skip that one. 5, active membership, moved by Marnie Tattersall, seconded by Lonnie Hicks. It was a committee substitute. Resolved that the National Finance Committee, in concert with Pacifica Management and the Elections Committee, build or identify an information management system that accurately tracks the number of active members, including persons who have contributed $25 or more, or who have volunteered 3 hours or more during the previous 12 months, by the June PNB meeting. The intent of this resolution is to enable a monthly report of active membership. Passed without objection. 6, policy on monthly reporting of financial information to the LSBs. There was a first motion which failed. I'll go to the second motion. Second motion was to amend by removing the word preliminary from the originally approved PNB motion. Moved by Tattersall, seconded by Hicks, the motion was presented as follows. Resolved that the station manager shall provide monthly station financial reports, income statements, to their respective local finance committees when they close their books each month at the time they transmit their information to the National Finance Office. Passed 4-3, moved by Tattersall, seconded by Hicks. Hicks clarified, and there was no objection to this clarification, that this motion would maintain the status quo in terms of the procedures currently in place before the vote was taken. There was no objection to that clarification. What that means is that the single monthly financial statement that the LSB receives is a combination of both the national and the local numbers codified into one financial statement for the LSB to consider. Finally, policy resolution number 7, resolution on monthly reporting of FTEs, full-time equivalent positions. Members of the National Finance Committee and PNB will be provided by their local general manager with quarterly FTE reports of all individuals by positions, including consultants. A similar quarterly report will be provided to the NFC and the PNB by the National Office. This shall not prevent the NFC from monthly review of this information, and in any event, a quarterly review shall be presented to the NFC. That was passed 4-3. Let me clarify that as to what we mean by FTEs, if I might just explain that one, because that one was rather controversial, and I was the swing vote on this one. It's my position, and I think this is where Lonnie and I may have a disagreement, and that's why I wanted to point it out so everybody, we can kind of cut to the chase scene. That this report on FTEs would be a report that would include FTEs, which are full-time equivalents, as opposed to giving the name like Mike Martin. You give an FTE, and then you identify the FTE as FTE General Manager, and then you identify by line item the cost salary for that FTE on a line item basis, and that you do the same thing for consultants so that we could fully evaluate the full extent of what our payroll is and how it's working on a quarterly basis. Now, Lonnie, I think, has a disagreement with that approach. I think that he should speak to that. But that's the explanation of the motions.
But it's moved by him.
No, that is not my understanding of what I moved. Since it's my motion, I want to speak to it. I imagine my surprise at seeing this and having that interpreted to me about what my motion meant. I will speak to what my motion meant to me. I don't believe that it's wise or prudent, and it has been my consistent position in this network to have monthly salaries or quarterly salaries be revealed every month to the Finance Committee without a real clear intent, real clear rules around confidentiality, and a close examination about whether a well-governed organization, and there are many that are well-governed, need do this routinely.
And I submit to you that well-governed organizations don't do this. There are many, many models by which we can go. Now, what I did suggest, intend and mean, was that the FTE, meaning how many hours or what is their full-time or part-time, yes, I think that is doable. But I think that revealing the salaries, especially without consulting with the people whose salaries we would be revealing, is not wise, not prudent, not necessary, and mischievous. What to do? I'm asking the board that we be clear, as we were last year, around the guidelines, the procedures, and the methodologies about releasing salaries. We did this last year, don't get me wrong, but we were very careful in how we did it. I don't believe that we have the same safeguards, guidelines, understandings this year. So my point is, no, my motion did not say, hey, let's reveal the salaries. No, that's not my motion.
Now, let me point out a potential compromise that he and I reached at lunch. And that is, if I could, before the rest of the discussion goes on, what I thought Lonnie and I thought we could work out is that at the first quarterly report, the first budget, that you report all of the FTEs by line item, by salary, and that subsequent to that, you only have to report changes in the FTEs. Which is, I thought, what we agreed to at the beginning, and understand that I've already written a confidentiality agreement that we have moved in National Finance to agree to confidentiality, and that we're ultimately going to probably adopt one as soon as we clarify the language.
The key phrase is ultimately going.
Well,
we have already moved
formally to keep all of that information confidential, and it's been done twice in National Finance. So,
Patty, anyway. William, Dave.
This is Patty Heffley. I would like to read the original motion, that resolution that passed on December 20th, 2004, and to see how far we've come. The National Finance Committee will be provided by their local business manager with monthly headcount reports that show the names of individuals paid by the station those months, including positions, hours worked, and amounts paid, including all individuals whose earnings are reported on either W-2 and 1099 forms. A similar monthly report will be provided to the National Finance Committee by the National Office. This information shall be restricted to the members of the National Finance Committee and shall be discussed in executive session only. And now we're down to that we're having a discussion about even that we can't even get FTEs with no names on them, and we can only see changes. I'm curious how you could see a change in a no-name item of a consultant about something. I mean, I'm really concerned about this. I would move to divide this question back to the way it was and vote on these separately, and I will not vote for this. I approve of the previous motion for the Finance Committee to be able to have pure information so we can figure out what's happening in this foundation.
I'd like to interrupt. I was just informed that the Pope has died. And I'd like for us to have a moment of silence. The Pope has died.
Going to conclave.
Thank you. I have on the list William, Dave, Mark, Ray. I'm Sarv.
I'm unclear. I think Patty just made a motion. It was seconded. I have a motion, but I don't want to mess with this process. So
we'll come back to you.
Where you're going to come back to me, and we now have a new stock? Because I'm not clear on the motion. So.
I'm not either. So.
I second the motion.
Sarv already seconded it, but I don't know what the motion is, so that's why.
The motion was to divide this back into separate ones and not to be approving this all together.
Okay. I call the question.
question has been called.
That's easy. It's either vote for 7 or vote for 9.
Point of order?
Yes.
When he calls the question, is he calling it on all pending questions or just the motion to divide?
The motion to divide.
That's simple. Let's just
hang
it up.
Shall we vote?
I have another point of order. It didn't actually get put back together. I said it, and then Mike started reading it. I think it still is divided, isn't it?
No.
No, we were about to vote.
No, it's together.
Okay.
Okay. The motion to divide. And is there any debate? Then let's vote. All those in favor of the motion...
Debate or to divide?
No, I asked, was there any debate, and there was no debate.
All right, so let's divide.
Motion to divide.
So that's what we're voting on now?
That's right.
Motion to divide.
Do you want to divide it? Yeah.
One, two.
Each individual one? Come on, y'all.
No.
Seven,
eight. Don't be here too long.
Divide all of these
residents. I counted 11.
Rob, your hand
to divide.
Rob's hand is not up.
You just leave it holding the wall.
I didn't count him. All those opposed.
Opposed to dividing?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3. That's it.
Motion carries?
Motion carries.
Now we gotta go.
Now, I can go back.
Y'all voted for it. Look at the time.
Let me go back to the stack. William, Dave, Mark, Ray, Star.
But what is the stack?
I have a motion. It's from before.
Okay.
It's now the same stack that we were on. Well, I'm going to give my comments about 5 and 7 because I don't want to talk anymore, and then I'm going to give my motion about 2. Motion 5 around active membership, I can't listen to you and talk. You can stop me in point of order, or you can let me talk. Thanks. Active membership, I really think that there should be a cost analysis to this because I'm very involved in how we count volunteers, and I just did our CPB grant stuff for accounting the number of volunteers at our station, and I'm still not quite sure if the number I submitted is right. 851 and counting. Policy on monthly reporting of FTEs, I think that the information, we're not like a Fortune 500 company, and usually when you're analyzing the number of FTEs in larger companies, there's actually some type of comparison, but with the number of employees we have at Pacifica, it doesn't tell you much except that William makes X, and, you know, other employee makes Y, and I just think that if this motion passes, it's still not going to help us really look at how effective the job descriptions are at each of our units and what each of the functions are of our staff people and how to... I mean, the way you save money is understanding how you do work and figuring out what types of, you know, functions we can streamline. It's more helpful to really do an analysis of these positions rather than understanding what each person makes. My motion, though, is to amend number 2, and it's to, and I have it written down for the secretary.
That would be me too.
That's you.
I'm the chair and the secretary.
Yeah. And
fortunately,
all right.
Stuff's on my computer. So,
so it's just, I'm going to read it as if it would stand with my amendment. It's resolved that quarterly expense line items that are at least 10% or at least $10,000, not including amounts over $1,000, whichever is lesser over budget for the month, shall be explained in written notes to the company, the quarterly income statements. Then there's a semicolon. The general managers will make these notes for each unit, and I added the word monthly there. And the CFO will make notes for the national unit, and then I added, and the Pacifica Radio Archives quarterly. I then struck the next sentence, the CFO will make notes for the national office and PRA monthly. Why? Because I think that the GMs do, the business managers do close the books on a monthly basis, and Brian DeShazer, who's the PRA director, I don't know if I have that right now, but he's the head of that unit, and so he would be included in this, and I think that the CFO should be focused on quarterly stuff, and that it takes their energy. I mean, if we're going to want people to do things monthly, have your people that are doing these things on a day-to-day basis do it monthly, and have our CFO and finance staff deal with it quarterly so they can deal with whatever other urgent business is going on in the foundation. So that's just my suggestion.
Is there a second to that?
I will second that.
It's been seconded? Is there any question?
Point of information?
Yes.
Instead of voting on all these resolutions at one time, I thought we decided we're going to take one at a time. So
right.
Is this? But one did we? Time. Did we? Is this the first item we are starting with? Number two?
All yeah. I did was
because my point of information was that when William was talking about, he began to talk about all of them, Tom.
Yeah, but
5, 6, 4, 3, 2. And I think
but
it's out of order. It's
two.
Out of order for him to do that. And he ought to limit it, his discussion, to item that's on hand. And that item is number two.
And I'm done talking.
Okay.
One. For this
whole
item.
One, actually.
I'm done.
Bob and Mark.
Point of information for Lonnie. Can you tell us what your opinion is of William's amendment?
As I understand it, just to be clear, the proposal, the motion is that the 10% or 10,000 be a monthly report for the GMs and a quarterly report for the CFO. Is that accurate? All right, just. I do appreciate the consideration.
And the archives.
And the archives. But, always a but. My view of this item is the same as the view of the other item. We have this $1,000 clause in this item. And that problem we have resolved to solve. Yet it sits here in this motion. And I think that we need to solve the problem that the $1,000 item does present. Because now you'll have GMs having to account for $1,100. Now, I understand that there's some discretion given them in the language that is below where they can decide on a meaningful variance. Now, rather than, I think the CFO quarterly makes perfect sense, and I'm recommending that across the board for the CFO. I cannot chase down a variance note from a GM for $100 on 1,200 lines of items. I can't do that. You know, I'll go home, and I can't do that. But I do think that if the GM should speak to this issue, William, now, about whether it makes sense for them to do this monthly with a $100 item in there.
Because we already did that.
Can I follow up? Just a quick follow-up question. So would you advocate, Lonnie, that this be referred back to the Finance Committee to fix?
I think there's one item in here that we've already agreed needs to go back to be fixed. That's the 1,000.
Let me point out that if you refer this back to Finance Committee, the resolution number two on monthly expense line items, which you all already adopted last year, which has the 10% variation standard in it, okay, so I didn't create that one, all right? You guys did. Is the standing policy of the board. That's and we were trying to reach a compromise
like
on how to work around that.
I've had my
Mark?
Hand up for the longest
Mark?
Time, so I want to address this issue. Because one of the things I think we're forgetting here is that the last, when December, when the board passed these measures, which I don't agree with the board, well, I think it was a mistake for them to do it, and I think bad legislation happens here just like in Congress. And I think they went overboard. And there was some concern raised by the general managers and those people who had to do these things that it was simply too much. And so as a result of that, we met, and the National Finance Committee, under the leadership of Mike, we met with the general managers and crafted compromise measures that said, okay, we understand your concerns, but we also understand the original intention. And we came to an agreement on something that the general managers could live with that would also address the concerns of the original motions. That's what you have before you. It's already been, it's like an egg. It's been boiled 4 or 5 times. The only disagreement that we have now is with item 7 because of the interpretation that Lonnie has, which is different from the one I have. So since we've already gone through 1 through 6 and we don't have any problem with it, I mean, we moved to divide because of 7. So can't we adopt 1 through 6 and then just skip to 7? If we go through this for each one to rehash what's already been done, I'm with Zarina. We're not going to get to anybody else.
Call
so
the
I
question.
Move,
I
move that we adopt 1 through 6 as a package.
Second.
Call the question.
Oh.
Question's been called for.
Let's vote.
Whether or not we're going to end debate on this matter.
1 through 6.
1 through 6.
1 through 6. All those in favor?
Ending debate? Oh, okay.
Yeah. 2, 4, 8, 2, 4, 6, 7. 15. End debate.
I move adoption of 1 through 6.
Yeah, 1 through 6.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded.
Vote.
Is there a discussion?
Yes,
sir.
Mr. Chairman, this, I know there's a momentum here to get on with time, and because of time, you do all these things. But I think it's a very, very important issue. And I don't want to rush through this because these are the words that are coming from the executive director. And he said that our corporation is at risk and that the management disavows from these motions because they put the corporation at risk. Legal advice has not been followed. Privacy rights may be at risk. Confidentiality safeguards are not in place. Due diligence has not been conducted. Accountabilities are blurred. Micromanagement is not sanctioned by the bylaws. That requests are onerous. These, given that, just a second. No, this little. He, I haven't heard that. So, given this, these requests are the very ones that prompted and hamstrung the Pacifica network. The resources are so outstretched that according to even the auditor, he thinks they're outstretched. And these motions, they do not solve that problem. They still continue to ask for monthly reports on things, and I want to know what you have been getting these reports for the last 3 years, 5 or 6 months, and whatever months you are getting these reports, and what have you found? And I have not heard anybody tell me from the National Finance Committee what have they discovered in there. You keep on getting these reports, but what did you find?
Point of order.
I have not seen a single statement here that addresses that question.
I call the question.
Questions been called?
That's my point of order.
Okay.
Mine too.
We ended debate.
That's what my point of order is.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, move adoption on the question to aggregate them, not on the merits. Now we're calling the question on the merits, I believe.
That's right.
Move adoption of 1 through 6.
Yeah. This is 1 through 6, right? To move. Can we vote, Mr. Chair?
Yes, you can vote. All those in favor of adopting 1 through 6. Raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Uh-oh. Opposed. 1, 2, 3. It has been approved. Right. Mr. Chairman, are there any other items from the Finance Committee?
There is the debate about 7.
I'd like to speak to that.
Yes, Mark.
Oh, that's right. I won't talk to you. No, you're right. I won't.
Oh, well, yeah.
Mark.
Okay, I wanted to address
item 7.
Item 7, which is the question, I guess, about the FTEs and in terms of releasing this information on a quarterly basis. And last year, as you all recall, we went through this whole debate about the release of salary information by position, not by individual, and certainly not by Social Security number, but simply by position. And the rationale for that was a couple things. One, it does represent about 52-53% of our expenditures on an annual basis, and we thought it was an important area to monitor, particularly since it was also one of the most significant variance items with salary. And so we needed to keep control and understand what was going on. So what we asked for was simply to get a list of who was employed by position in their FTE equivalent. And at that time, we had a whole back and forth, and we finally reached an agreement. We posted the names of all salaried positions throughout the network by station and at the national office and national units, and we put it on a website. And it was secured, and we gave the code to all members of the PMB, and we also gave it to all LSB treasurers. And then we also released the information to all LSB delegates within $1,500, so there'd be a range. There was predictions that all kinds of things would break loose as a result of that, and my understanding is, at least as far as I've heard, that didn't happen. And we were able to verify that salary amount. Now we're back this year. And once again, we have gross salary figures, but we need to know the simple question of who is employed. Now, I understand about privacy, but I also understand that all of these salaries are being paid by listener dollars. And so we have a responsibility to monitor it. And what we're asking for is simply a quarterly reporting by position without name. And I don't think that that's unreasonable. I understand Lonnie's objections, but I think we should pass this motion as written, item 7, and go ahead and release that information like we did last year. And I predict that, like last year, we'll find that the world won't cave in. So I move that we adopt 7 as written.
Been moved and seconded. Are there any questions? Are there? Fadi William.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The one thing that I have a question with regards to item 7 is with regards to consultants. If that would be lumped up as one thing, or would it be consultants based on tasks?
Yes.
And so it would be identified by task.
Correct.
And to me, that's critical, because otherwise, if they're all lumped up, yeah, you don't
absolutely
know which end is what.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
That's exactly
William,
correct.
Dave?
I don't want to make a motion, but can you guys just take up the issue of looking at what jobs exist at the different stations?
Yes.
We have a traffic director. BAI doesn't. BAI has a public affairs director. We don't. Blah, blah, blah.
See, under the current...
Or we do now, but we didn't.
Under the current version of the amendment, I didn't get that information, which is what I'd like to have known, is what these people are actually... titles are, and that would be helpful information for us in the network to compare differences in what stations doing
and what they do.
Yeah.
Because I know as a traffic director, I do things that don't have anything to do with carts, a lot of things. So,
Dave,
yeah, I just want to point out that there was some concern that this isn't comprehensive enough, and I resolved those concerns for myself by realizing that a simple subtraction of the FTE number from the gross salary line tells you how much is going to other things, and if it's ever significant, we can deal with it. But this is fine, and it represents, I think, an effective compromise. The National Finance Committee spent vast amounts of time, and I couldn't agree more with what Mark said, and appreciate his comments.
Are there no objections? Then it is approved.
No, there's no objection.
I thought it is approved.
Wait, Mr. Chair, don't jump the gun. I want to hear from the CFO. That's all.
And I request a roll call vote, please.
No, that's not proper.
No, it's not a comment about the business. The comment was what's happening in this room. When we talk to each other, we are told by officers here, or I don't know if they're from the police or something, that we cannot talk to each other. We're not allowed to talk to each other. So I don't know who ordered this, but I think it's excessive. I don't know. Those two gentlemen here, I don't know who
security.
They are. Who are these people? Wait, did you instruct them that the people in the room are not allowed to talk to each other? Please, let us know. Because, okay, so please instruct them now that it's okay for us to talk to each other, that we know each other. Yes, but see, come to us, and we're talking to each other in the ear, and they come to us and says you cannot, otherwise we're going to throw you out.
Yeah.
Well,
can I say something about that?
Yes.
I feel that if there was any throwing up taking place, it would be at the instruction of the chairs asking them to act upon it. Otherwise, it's overdone.
Mr. Chair, did you register my request for a roll call vote?
My goodness.
Okay, we have to vote on that.
There were no objections. So
no, I object to the motion.
Oh, you objected?
Okay. Well, I thought you were asking objecting.
You objected number 7, right?
Yes.
Mr. Chair?
Right.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Lonnie.
Well, I understand.
Oh, my God, I got to do the call? Somebody's got to give me a list.
I understand the intent, and I understand the board members are anxious to vote. But I have to, as chief financial officer of the network, I would have to disavow this action because it is I who is going to be releasing this information. And I would want to go on the record, I'd like to have it in the minutes, that I do not support it, and I believe that it will cause problems for the network. Now, if the board overrules my objection, I smile. It's okay. But I do want to go on record for believing this is not wise.
Okay.
And the secretary would register my own disavowal and disassociation from this action. I have written to the board on numerous occasions. I would like to echo a number of points that have been previously been made. Number one is we receive routinely, and I'd like the board to know this, the comments that you heard today from a staff member about confidential information being released to the board, where board members do have a track record, and I know many of us have condemned it, and it is regrettable, where confidential information is rather routinely released. This is an issue. Number two, this is not the Outback Steakhouse, where it's all rights and no rules. We must have safeguards. Attorneys have repeatedly advised us of those need for safeguards around codes of conduct. We had that whole issue before the board last night around issues of confidentiality, on sanctions for violating confidentiality. We've had repeated advice around the importance of training. Releasing personnel information as well in the context of the factionalism that bedevils this network, that we all feel the pain of that factionalism, that is often characterized by bitter personnel recriminations, where open public campaigns of defamation by board members, by agents of the foundation are routinely made, is irresponsible in my view. I would remind the board that we have gone through litigation and listeners and spent hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars by staff members recently, former staff members, precisely on the points of defamation. And it doesn't take a lot. You could say what you might think to be an innocuous statement because of free speech rights. But no, that does not exist in an institution. Workers have rights. Workers have rights. Trade unions have rights. We forget that in Pacifica. We struggled for those rights, and we forget about them so readily. And our brothers and sisters and comrades in Pacifica raise $4 million every 3 months, and we treat this as if it's nothing, that it just is manna from the heaven. But that value is produced by workers, and we forget that so easily. And we forget that so easily. So I would call on this
point
board
of order, point
to
of order.
Remember.
Point of order.
Please keep order.
Point of
as
order.
A foundation,
please keep order.
Take safeguards to impose a code of, to get a code of conduct in place, to ensure that their sanctions if confidentialities are violated, and also to remember the issue of accountabilities, that our staff do have accountabilities, are held accountable for these actions, and it's important that they get clarity around the issues of salaries, that they do have the authority, as per their jobs, to dictate or to make salary adjustments and determine salaries. So those are some of my concerns. I've written to them all before. I have them noted again. Thank you very much.
Point of order.
Mr. Chair, let me... wait a minute. I've got the floor right now, Patty. Let me offer a friendly amendment to this motion that this, and we've had this discussion, and this is an important point, and I am sensitive to what Dan and Lonnie say as a lawyer who specializes in defamation law. And I've already drafted a draft version of a confidentiality agreement, which we're working on and hope to adopt at the next meeting, but that I would amend this motion that as a condition of any member of the PNB receiving this information that they have signed a confidentiality agreement. I would ask that to... Okay.
Point of information.
An amendment to the number 7.
Point of information. Would that also apply that the member of the Finance Committee that has access to that information?
Yes. Anyone who receives the information...
Any member of the board has been seconded.
I'm calling the question on the amendment.
Point of order.
All right.
The amendment's accepted.
Yes, yes.
It's a friendly
point of information, please.
Point of information.
Point of order. Point of information.
Point of information.
Point of information.
I'm wondering, Lonnie, does that satisfy your concerns, the issue that was just raised by Mike, the compromise?
Well, I think it goes to the next step, but not entirely, but I think it's better than nothing. What we don't have is a board procedure. What I think would be an adequate package, Mark, is exactly what we did last year. And I'm asking the question to you, why don't we do it that way this year?
You mean when we put it on a secured site?
This should be part of the motion. We should do it exactly like we did last year. I don't understand why that's not acceptable this year.
I have no problem with that either.
I think,
yes.
And that the information be placed on a secure site.
Yeah, how about that?
I want to respond, William.
I want to respond to some of the things that are said. I don't know. First of all, my understanding is that most of the liability and legal issues and lawsuits that were done by former employees were done in response to things that were largely led by the Pacifica campaign. And we have not seen anything of that sort since. I am aware of at least one LSB member in the network who has said some things that I think are questionable, but that wasn't using confidential information obtained anyway. I am very disturbed when I hear references to complaints that employees have made when the employee gets up and says something that's patently false, for example, that we're asking for their Social Security number, which we are not. We are not asking for any personal medical records. We are not asking for anything that relates to their privacy rights other than what they are paid, and the bylaws specify that we set wages and salaries. You can't do that without knowing what they are. Mark gave the reasons for us to know these things, and I really personally object to the amount of time we spent in a committee. We believe we have a consensus agreement, and we get here and we hear these kinds of non-specific accusations. I'm willing to deal with the specific accusation, but as Mark said, nothing that has been given us so far has been released publicly or has incurred any liability. And I do want to reiterate what I started this with, which is the things that happened in the course of the Free Pacifica struggle were, again, led by an organization that no longer exists, and I don't see that anybody has done anything comparable, but part of that struggle was for financial transparency, and people were asking for the maximum amount of transparency allowed by law. Now, I want to point out that our 990s specify the pay of the top 10 salaried employees. Okay, that's just a matter of public record. And I lastly want to say what Mike said, which is if this motion is defeated, it reverts to the existing policy, which is somewhat more stringent. This represented a good faith effort to resolve the question, and I'm feeling a great deal of bad faith to arrive here and find that the terms of the agreement have now been changed. I appreciate that board members are making efforts to bend over even further backwards, but I don't think this is it's unprofessional, in my opinion.
William?
I'm not on the Finance Committee. I don't support this motion, and this is why I don't support it. We've all received financial information, at least for the month of December. All the board members on this board received salary information for all of the paid employees in this organization. Just from being a paid employee and understanding how payroll works at KPFA, I know that the salaries under KPFA probably aren't reflective of what an employee's monthly wages are. And the reason that is because of how time carding is done at KPFA. So rather than getting into all of the intimacies of that and breaking that all down, I really think that the Finance Committee should talk with the different stations about how they do these things rather than just requesting the information, because if you were to base salaries on what we received in that binder back in December, it's flawed, at least for my station it is, and I don't think that it's a fair representation of what employees make, and there are going to be a lot of assumptions about what employees make. I think that we do have a right to know what salaries are in the respect of management, because those are salaries that are set outside of the bargaining unit. But I think that there needs to be more discussion about how we solicit information about salaries of folks who are in the bargaining unit, since the variance between what those individuals make is so negligible, and really be focusing on how money is spent on consultants and management, which is where the cost is... point. Less out of the control. Can I just finish? I understand you have a point of order. So can I finish what I'm stating, please? Because it makes it really difficult to. Thanks. But what I'm saying is that management salaries and salaries at national office that aren't under a bargaining unit are the salaries and salaries of consultants that don't even fall under Pacifica payroll are the salaries that you guys are all worried about as listeners saying that the salary lines are out of control. And issues around overtime and issues around people working more than 40 hours in a week and payment around that, those are the things that people should be worried about. And there's ways to figure that out without requesting the salary information of every employee in the foundation. And I didn't sign a confidentiality agreement for this black binder that we all received with everyone's financial information. And I just wonder what's going on with it, because I know I've gotten emails from pmb@pacifica.org from listener members who've told me how much Verna Avery Brown makes and how much different individuals make and want to know why they're making that. And I just don't think that it's appropriate at all for me to open my email account one day and find out that the whole world knows what I make.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Point of order.
What is the point of order?
The point of order is if we could keep the comments to the amendment that has been proposed. Which is on confidentiality.
Yeah. Can I restate the amendment so everybody knows?
Well, yes, hold on a second.
I wanted to add to your...
I was going to probably do... You're probably talking on... Go ahead. You and I are probably on
restate
the same way.
Restate the amendment.
Okay. I wanted to... I understand the concerns you're raising, so I wanted to address it. We've agreed to confidentiality agreements prior to the release of this information to anyone, which will be limited to PMB and National Finance Committee, which will be the treasurers. I'm also now asking that we also agree that we do like last year, and that we place that information on a secured site. Then that information,
That's not the amendment, though.
Yeah, but where is the amendment here?
The code to that site would be given out to those eligible members once they sign the agreement.
And then you print it on your computer.
Then you don't go to the listserv and tell everybody. You be mature. But we do have an agreement that you signed.
Would the maker of the amendment repeat the amendment?
Can you put that in a better way, Mike?
As a condition of receiving this information, any member of the PNB or the NFC must sign a confidentiality agreement, and that information is to be placed on a secured site.
All right. That is the amendment.
The agreement has been signed.
I don't believe a secured site is secure. If we're going to do this, let's do it in hard copy. There are too many ways to hack a site, and that's, in my mind, the least secure, particularly if there's only a single password that gets sent around. No, let's. If we're going to do this, let's have this in hard copy, please.
Are we ready to vote on the amendment?
It's all insecure.
What's the amendment?
The amendment is the confidentiality amendment.
The confidentiality. One more time, Mr. Chairman, read the amendment, and please pay attention.
Everyone, our chair said pay attention, please. As a condition of receiving this information, any member of the PNB or the NFC must sign a confidentiality agreement, and that information be placed on a secured site once the agreement has been signed.
Second.
It's already in second.
One of information.
Yeah.
Can the site itself be printed?
No.
Can the information on the site be printed?
Yeah. You can print off the site and get your hard copy.
I'd like to amend by substitution that the information be provided securely. I'd like to substitute for on a secured site.
Second. Do you accept that?
Adelson's a better wordsmith than I am.
What was it?
The information be provided securely rather than specifying a secured site. I don't think the website is the most secure method. Just be provided securely and leave it to the executives to decide the most secure manner to provide it.
Are we ready to vote on that change language and the amendment? All in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand. Confidentiality amendment. See, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. All opposed. All right. The main motion, Mr. Chair, would you read the main motion?
Move adoption of number 7 as worded. I'd already read it once. Do you want me to read it again?
Please do.
Okay. As amended, okay. Members of the National Finance Committee and PNB will be provided by their local general manager with quarterly FTE reports of all individuals by positions, including consultants. A similar quarterly report will be provided to the NFC and the PNB by the national office. This shall not prevent the NFC from monthly review of this information, and in any event, a quarterly review shall be presented to the NFC. As a condition of receiving this information, any PNB or NFC member must sign a confidentiality agreement, and that information that information be provided securely once the agreement has been signed.
All right, it was called
request to roll call.
I know, that's what I'm doing now. Dave has requested a roll call vote. Yes.
I'm sorry. Does the confidentiality agreement stipulate any penalty for disclosure?
No.
Well, no, I can answer that question. The current draft removes the right of indemnification from the member by the foundation. And there was some wordsmithing that wanted to be done on that, but essentially, yes. I mean, you won't be protected by the foundation if you violate the agreement. You won't be protected by the insurance policy provided by the foundation. You're throwing yourself out there naked if you violate the agreement.
All right. This is the way we're going to do the roll call vote. Starting.
Yes. Well, I've got a roll over here. Mr.
Good.
You want me to
call
it?
The roll.
Okay. Clerk will call a row. William Walker, and I'm just going to call it in the order that got it here, so there's no rhyme or reason.
Point of information.
Why am I first?
Very quickly, I'll state my concern.
No.
I think that given the I think Lonnie may have pointed out, somebody pointed out, given the level of factionalism within this board, what's to prevent somebody from giving what would be otherwise confidential information to a third party? And as a result, there being some adverse impact upon the person whose salary has been published. I mean, I don't think that there's any real insulation here. And I think that in spite of the confidentiality agreement, which is normally done between, let's say, two or three lawyers in a case, not in a situation like this, where the board is as large as this and where third parties can become involved, I don't think there's really any real insulation at all.
Point of order, Mr. Chair, we are going to be doing roll call.
Go ahead.
That was not a point of information.
And you know,
Chairman,
yeah.
Would you call the roll,
yes,
please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Walker.
No.
Adelson.
Yes.
Letterer.
Pass.
Montez.
Yes.
Derlin.
Yes.
Rundawa.
Yes.
Armudian.
Yes.
Heffley.
No.
Kamau.
Pass.
Robinson.
Yes.
Pierce. Saba.
Yes.
Julie Chavez is absent. LaForest.
Abstain.
Martin is a yes. Roberts.
Yes.
Williams.
Yes.
Warren.
No.
Was Donna Warren? I'm sorry.
All right, Donna Warren.
Give me a chance to think some more.
Okay. I'll go to Michael Warren as a no. Wendy.
No.
Shrell.
No.
Did you get Donna Warren?
I was going to come back to her.
Yeah, okay.
She wanted. Shakir. Donna Warren.
No.
Kamau.
No.
Okay. Mr. Chair, we have. Letterer passed. Bob, did you want to?
Abstain.
Ambrose, can I say something while he's doing that? I've had my hand up for a long time. We have spent months and years and lots of thousands of dollars now arguing about the right of the directors to get salary information. So I just want that to never happen again. This is crazy. Directors have absolute inspection rights. They can go and find out anything anytime they want, and this just facilitates them doing their job. And if the Finance Committee can't do their job, then they can't do their job. So I hope we never talk about this again.
Well, that's not true, actually.
Point of order, Mr.
Yes.
Chair.
I just would like to say that I don't believe directors have the right to anything they want. There are information that are confidential. And nobody is disagreeing with people's right to have information. The question is how it's delivered and how much.
William?
Just general stock? This is, I can...
Yeah, well, I'm,
okay.
I'm waiting
while
for
you're waiting. So then I'll just add that if we want access to everyone's financial information, get rid of the union is how I feel about it. Because I'm in a union and, you know.
Mr. Chair, I have
Yes?
I have the result of the vote.
What do you have?
The motion prevails, 10 yeses, 5 noes, 2 abstentions.
So carries.
Did you count the ones that said pass?
Motion prevails, 10 to 5.
Can we ask the Finance Committee?
And I have a point of order.
All right.
I'm sorry?
Point of order, William.
It's just about the agenda. We spent about an hour and 50 minutes on finance, so I just wanted to point out that in the time we have left, it seems that we should try to, and I'm sure Dan has ideas on this, but I know that the general managers and especially the Pacifica Radio Archives director, you guys always get shortchanged, and it just seems that in whatever order we go in, they might want to just go. I don't know if they're scheduled to be around or not. Now, I was just going to suggest that we hear from unit heads before we hear from Dan and Lonnie, but just...
Dan probably leaves early, too.
Mr.
Dan.
Chair, could I just close with two sentences to thank the board? I apologize for the length of this. We spent 6 times as long as we spent on these motions, maybe more, doing them. But I want to thank the staff again. And it was in good faith. And I want you to know that we are creating a wheel that is about to turn. And we're about to move to substantive discussions about strategies and what we need to do, and I appreciate your patience.
I wanted
point
just to briefly, Ambrose, I did want to also thank Mike and the work that you're doing and the National Finance Committee, and I wanted also to assure you I think you're going to get 150% cooperation and support from the entire financial staff around the network in implementing these motions for sure. I know staff are really looking forward to working with you under the leadership of the Finance Committee and getting into those big picture issues. So thanks, man.
I have a point of information about the motion we just passed. So the motion calls for us to have signed a confidentiality agreement. Is there a Mike referenced a draft. In order to have force, does that confidentiality agreement have to be passed as policy by this board? Is there a prior existing confidentiality agreement? How do we get from here to a signed confidentiality agreement? Does anybody anybody clarify for me?
We need to agree on one.
I got a draft. I'll put it number one on our agenda through NFC. You may want to vet it through governance.
The question is, the board has to pass this before it becomes the accepted confidentiality
standard. The board has
standard.
To pass it. The board has
submitted
to.
For.
Has to be a
I'm asking the chair.
Yes.
Well, we can't pass it here.
Now let me
don't have the
this.
Wording.
I know it. You don't have it yet.
We'll have to wait to the April teleconference.
I'll submit it to the April teleconference through finance, from finance.
Since we've expended so much of our time, we have 2.5 hours to do a lot of work. We've got the committees and we've got the management reports. It's my suggestion that we revise the agenda and go directly to the management reports because it's extremely important, it would seem, since we're losing our executive director. And we ought to hear from him, and we ought to hear from the CFO. With no objection.
We only have an hour and 10 minutes.
Hold on.
I have a question.
Yes.
You know, I really don't care if we only have an hour and 10 minutes. If we can't manage our time, we should be here all night until we get the business done. Okay? Mm. So, with that in mind, somebody needs to be taking time and make us manage our time. I do agree, however, that we can go ahead and put the rest of the business after the reports by the CFO and the ED, so they can do. They probably got more work to do, you know, this evening, so they can go ahead and do what they're going to do, or go get some New York cheesecake or whatever they want to do.
Are the executive director and the CFO ready now?
Ambrose?
Yes.
I would like to request that we set firm times. Now, earlier you said that our times would be guidelines, but I'd like us to agree on fixed times, and when we get to the end of those times, we have to vote to extend. Otherwise, we move on.
It's a little lazy to do that now.
No, for the rest of the agenda.
For the rest of the agenda? So how much time are you going to give the CFO? And how much time are you going to give the executive?
There wasn't a second. There was not a second to that motion.
I second it.
It's too late.
What was the motion, Mark?
It's gone.
Let it die, man.
It was an attempt to get us.
Why don't we just hear from staff and just set times later?
I understand.